outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It's August 10th and we're ready.
We've been ready
all week.
I know.
So we could.
Oy vey.
Yesterday I kept thinking it was Friday. I thought, wow, I can sleep in tomorrow. Then I realized it was Saturday. I mean, it was Thursday last night, so
yeah,
one more day.
I don't know what is wrong with me either. Like, I went to bed so early last night. Like, I watched The Real L Word. I know.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Totally watched it. And then I watched, like, an old episode of True Blood that I didn't see from this past weekend. And then I just passed out.
Really?
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, have some fun with Skype with somebody. And I was waiting, and then...
They never showed up?
So I was like, well, fuck it. And I passed out. So, oh well. And then this morning I couldn't get up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hot too, you know. It makes you tired, this heat.
Yeah,
for
it
sure,
really does.
Huh?
It really does.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfect beach weather because you go to the beach here, it's like 20 degrees lower.
It was perfect. I actually went, like I said, the other day, and everyone's like, it's so cold. How the hell are you getting in there? I'm like, I don't know. But I'm going to have a drink, and I'm jumping in, and then I'm fine.
Or in the water, yeah.
Yeah. And I swam around, and I was fine. I stepped on a skate, which really sucked. I hope it was a skate. It might have been a stingray. Probably was a skate. And then I stepped, and then I was like, okay, that's just a skate. It's fine. Because, like, you know, it's feeding time at that time. So they're in kind of close. You know what skates are, right?
No.
They're like stingrays, but they don't sting.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Are they the same size?
Yeah.
That big?
Yeah.
Really?
So, and they're swimming, like, they only need, like, a little bit of water. Mm. Like, just a teeny bit. And so it's, the tide's coming in. It's, you know, evening. And I'm like, oh, I stepped on one, whatever. And then I stepped on a fish because I felt it turn sideways and it slipped. And I was like, okay, this is disgusting. I'm getting the hell out now. Disgusting. Like, gross. Disgusting.
I can't imagine you'd be grossed out of anything.
Normally, I am not grossed out of anything, but I took it as, like, a sign because my friend was like, there's jellyfish in here, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, and they started freaking me out. And then it was like, well, there's sharks, too. And then I was like, well, I got to pee, so I got to go out in the water so I can pee. So I got to go further out so that you don't... Because girls got to, like, you know, we got to get in the water so you don't see us pee. Where you guys, this is like, you're wearing shorts. You can just stand there and pee, and people think it's water just trickling down. They don't know. You know? Like, you guys can hide it. You actually got to sit in the water and, like, squat down and make it look not obvious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not peeing. Just peeing around here. It's just warm. What?
But if you're in the water, why do you have to squat? I mean, can't you just come out?
Yeah, but I don't want to go out. That. It's cold still. And then I stepped on something, and I'm like, well, if that's there, then whatever eats that is bigger. And then I start thinking crazy. And then I'm like, okay, it's that time of the month, so a shark might come get me.
Yeah.
And then I'm like thinking more, and I'm like, all right, get the fuck out of here. I'm out. My
so
moment was done.
For the beach for you, huh?
Exactly.
Well, you know.
You like how my stories are always like something crazy.
I know. Something always happens
to
you, you know. I know. So do you have any big plans for the weekend other than Skype?
That is much needed. Not really. I mean, I'm doing a class tomorrow, so that'll be kind of cool. I'm doing Reiki, and that's about it. I mean, one of my girlfriends is going to Vegas. She's getting married. Actually, I think we're going to have her on the show hopefully soon. Rachel Riley, who was on The Bachelor. I'm sorry, not The Bachelor we're talking about. She was on Big Brother. Mm. Big Brother and Amazing
Race. Rachel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know Rachel. She lives in Vegas, doesn't she?
She did.
Oh,
she did.
I see.
She's here. Yeah, and then her and her fiancé were on Amazing Race recently and did awesome. And they're really good friends of mine. So they're getting married. And WeTV is actually filming it for the day of the wedding in September. And I'm doing all their gift bags.
Oh, wow.
So I'm getting, I have all this shit at my house right now, like boxes of like things, which is great. You know, thank you to all the sponsors who are sending it. But her bachelorette party is this weekend.
Yeah, it's
in Vegas.
Nice that you get involved in stuff, you know.
Oh, I mean, she's awesome. She's amazing. Yeah.
So you guys been friends for a while?
We met during Reality Rally.
Oh, I see. Which okay. Is, so that's what, a few months ago.
You know, us reality stars, we all kind of stick together.
I guess you do.
I mean, we're all crazy, you know? So, yeah. So I met her. She's awesome. And I might go to Vegas tomorrow night. Probably so. And it's a bachelorette party. So naked things, why not?
Wow.
Sure. Strippers. Yeah. Awesome.
Strippers.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, I'm not too into, like, the, you know, the Chippendale thing there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather see naked chicks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who the hell wants to see some guy wearing, like, a thong bikini, you know, like, jiggling around? Take it off.
Yeah.
Or get away from me. Like, you know? So, I find, like, guy strippers are just not, I'd rather have a female grinding.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay, well, maybe you'll have that too, you know. One thing you'll have for sure is a lot of heat, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Vegas is burning right now.
True that, but then, you know, that means less clothes at the pool.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right, I guess. You always look at the bright side.
I try. The bright side is exactly less clothes, more things to look at.
Sounds good.
Do you not agree? Think about this.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Think like a guy. Yeah. Uh-huh. The hotter it is, chicks take things off, right?
Yeah, but how much more off are you going to take, you know, down to your bikini
it's
or
Vegas.
Something? Yeah.
Who cares? You know, same thing like Miami. That's why I love going there, because you look around and you're like, eye candy everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then people get in the pool and then they get drunker and then it's like, okay, this is fun. That's why it's Vegas. It's Sin City.
That's true.
You just don't talk about it. I mean, last time, like, how I met Christina, like, when we got her in here, I met her in Vegas.
Yeah.
Next thing I knew, I was naked in a bathroom with this chick. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, did I just with this girl? Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Las Vegas. Thank you, Vegas.
Well, you do this here, too.
I would, but it's more, you get away with more. Because it's Vegas,
that's
it's
true,
like, it's like the
I
evil
know,
turns on.
A little hideaway or something, you know?
Yeah. The evil turns on, and it's like, okay, now I gotta find trouble.
Mm.
You gotta have it there.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking, you know, no matter what, you're in Vegas, you're going to get, you're going for a reason. You're going to get wasted. And get lucky.
Yeah.
It's basically, literally,
that's
whether it's in the casino or whether it's in the bed.
In your
it's
room,
one or the other. That's why the rooms are, beds are so comfy, right?
Yeah, I
for
guess.
For the hookups.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Have you been to the hotels where they have a mirror on the ceiling?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
It's so
why
cheesy,
not?
I think.
It
I
is so cheesy, but you know what? I enjoy it. I have mirrors in my room.
Do you really?
Yeah, like my whole closet wall is lined with mirrors. Not that I meant for that to happen. I mean, when they were like, we're putting mirrored closets, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm thinking dirty the whole time. They're like, it's going to be great. You can see your outfits. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm using.
Yeah,
for.
That's what.
Okay. Anyways.
you're in a naughty mood this morning for sure.
Well, I didn't get my Skype. What the fuck?
My heart goes out to you.
My heart goes out to whoever's near me later tonight when I have a few drinks. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's bring in our guest. We have a very special guest in the studio. We have Lexington Steele. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
First of all, let's let everybody know that Lexington has a show here on Thursdays at 4, and a great show, and he always has great guests and stuff,
awesome.
So this is cool. And, of course, you know, I think from what I realize is this, if you talk to anybody about male porn stars in general, Lexington Steele is the only one they know. You
really?
Know? Yeah, because, you know, guys don't like to be involved so much with the male performers and stuff, you know. So so you're big in more ways than one. You're a big star.
Well, you know.
It's like,
That's why his show is called Size Matters.
That's exactly right.
Is that what your show is called?
Size Matters Radio.
Oh, my God. We have to high five right now, because I don't think you know this, but I was the Extends girl for 8 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Believe it or not.
I did an ad campaign in 1999 for Stins.
Really?
Actually holding up the bottle with a cheesy smile.
That is hilarious.
Smiling like there was like 8 or 9 of the, you know, Max Hardcore, Mr. Marcus, Ron Jeremy at the time. Was representing his stint, so...
This was,
really?
Oh, my God, I remember this. This was the year before the present owner took it over.
Oh.
And then the year... Yeah, and then I wound up doing it for the past 8 years. I was the main host of it. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Right?
Small world. What do you say?
Yeah, small world and a big... I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, not only am I the client, but I'm also...
the owner.
Wow. Yeah. Shoot.
That's hilarious. And I know Ron. He was lived in my building for a long time. Crazy motherfucker. Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's there's a lot of interesting people, but... So for those of you who don't know, Lexington Steele is probably the biggest in adult film stars today, and we're going to find out everything about him, how he got into it, and all that.
And literally the biggest.
No.
Not the biggest?
I meant
in other areas.
And I know exactly what you meant.
Yeah, he knows. That's probably the only person want to talk to
that's
him.
What
I definitely can't attest to having, you know, size matters, but I'm not the largest. I'm probably just, you know, widely considered as one of the best.
Okay. Really?
I mean, there was a period where I was considered the absolute best, but there's a lot of guys that are doing good work now, and I'm at the later stages of my on-camera career as far as hardcore in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Nice. Got it.
Now, you know, obviously at a certain point you realize that you have an oversized weapon, and now that was early on, right? I mean, probably in your early teens, no?
Well, Sam, I was the last guy in my high school to get action. I didn't get action until May of my graduating senior year.
Really?
Right? So I was like the last of the cool guys to get pussy. And so
was that, you think? What?
Because quite honestly, at the time, it was really a cultural thing, whereas. The dark-skinned brothers really weren't in at the time. This was a time when the light-skinned brothers were the boys de jour at the time, if you will.
Okay.
And so they were looking at guys like Chico DeBarge and L. DeBarge, if you remember from the DeBarge family.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Even Prince was hot at the time. See,
he's
these are light-skinned brothers, right?
I see. Okay.
But,
he's hot still.
No, but all hail the arrival of the two men that changed everything, putting dark-skinned black men to the head of certainly enough of ethnic culture in terms of preferability, enter Michael Jordan and Tyson Bedford of the Polo campaign.
He's so yummy.
And that ushered in, at least with black culture, that ushered in a sea change in the popularity of black or dark-skinned men versus light-skinned men. This is a little something for those who aren't familiar with what's going on within the African-American community.
Yeah.
I find that interesting, though, because the fact that you say that, it's like, for example, like I've always said this, how celebrities kind of set the trends in whatever, and the fact that Michael Jordan became so popular and the certain ads with it was Ralph Lauren, Polo, and Tommy Hilfiger actually, I did one of those new models who looked like Tyson Beckford, and he was my neighbor, and I'm like, hello. Anyway, and I was like, yummy. But it was like those. I see exactly what you're saying, but as soon as like they're up in the ads and they're known, and then it becomes a trend, and it becomes like, oh, okay, it's cool now or whatever.
Yeah.
I find that just so like really.
And as evidence of that, I'll tell you this: if you and this is a historic thing. I mean, once Michael Jordan, his hairline was receding at a very young age, right? Mid to early to mid 20s, if I remember correctly. Once he went completely bald. And you can go into media, like timelines, you saw all of a sudden it became cool for brothers to shave their head completely.
Mm-hmm.
Now my hairline is receding, but it didn't recede necessarily prematurely, right? But I have no reason to ever grow my hair back, because once Jordan shaved his completely, and then Tyson brought the beautiful aspect to being dark-skinned and bald, it's been forever something that... I've been able to enjoy at least facilitating, you know, my popularity amongst women now. But when I was a kid, I got no ass. And when I was 17, my first when I lost my virginity was to a 24-year-old runway model for Manhattan.
Really?
Yeah. So I my first time was a great way to begin, you know, my entry into Manhattan.
And was it a good first time?
Yeah, because I watched porno since I was 13, so I kind of felt I knew.
You knew it was
all I had to do was just act like the dudes that I watched. You know, and also I will say this though, the educational system in Marstown, New Jersey, where I grew up. It was pretty good at the time because I remember that they taught the kids in high school how to effectively put on a condom.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I had sex, I actually knew how to put the condom on, and I didn't fumble. Right? And then I knew where to put it. So she was impressed, and I was like, "Yo, that was my first time." She's like, "You're lying." I'm like, "No, believe me. It was my first time." Yeah.
But you realized probably quickly enough that most condoms probably didn't fit you, right?
Well, no, at that time, I mean, I was still growing.
Oh, I
see.
Okay.
And then there was a period.
I thought you were born with a penis.
Well, no. Slong hanging past my knee.
Exactly.
Because I was a baby.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that?
Your parents are like, I gotta buy him pants because it won't fit in the shorts.
Yeah, he's got
it. It's like hanging out.
The doctor would have been like, oh my God. And then he'd go high five my dad. Or my mom, you know. I don't know. You never know where it actually comes from.
I know.
From,
they'd go, oh my God, your baby has three legs.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
High five both the parents.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you really don't know where that comes from. It's not like you really had that conversation with your parents.
No, and I wonder, that's a good question. I wonder what that particular aspect of a man's physicality, is it a trait that's transferred from the mom or the father, the DNA?
I think it could be either. Just like, you know, certain people's like eyes could be different colors or whatever. It could be from one side or the other side, depending on which one's more dominant.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be a conversation that you would have to be like, yo, pops, let me see your wiener. I don't know if you're close to your parents, I would be like, hey, I'm just curious. I mean, because they know what you're doing.
Nah,
now, right?
You know what? Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But so. I mean, I don't know. That would be a difficult thing to do.
A weird conversation.
I had my mother about 2 years ago came to my office and I had I have a line of adult novelties. I have 14 toys in my toy line, right?
Wow.
So I have my dildo and my vibrator in my trophy showcase behind my desk.
Mm.
So I leave my office, I come back in my office, and my mom is standing in front of the showcase and she's looking into the showcase.
Oh my
God. Like, what are you looking at, Mom? And her mouth is like, her jaw is like a gape.
Wow. Oh my
and
God.
And I look where her eyes are, and I'm like, oh shit, she was looking at my dildo. I'm like, yeah, well, hey, Mom, that's the moneymaker right there.
Oh my God.
You know, that's what flew you out here from New Jersey at $400 for that. You know, that flight out here.
That's true. And at that point, she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if my father, you know, evidently it was something that she hadn't seen before. So that's not taking anything from my dad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But, so maybe it was her father. Oh.
it skips a generation, as they say.
Yeah, there you go.
You never know.
Now, were you a shy kid in high school?
No.
You were like all over.
I was a high school athlete, you know, student athlete.
What'd you play?
Soccer and track.
Nice.
And I went to, I actually went to school and played soccer in college. And I had been an athlete all throughout high school. And because I had success there and I was a pretty good student, and, you know, I wasn't that good looking of a guy at the time. So I didn't really care about the social aspect. So I was like really just like a jock who had good grades.
Right.
You know, it wasn't until college I actually began to actually, you know, have some fun.
Yeah. Hold on. We got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, what's up? Good morning, Sam. Hi, Brigetta.
Hi. Sounds familiar. What is your name?
Oh, hey, what's up? This is Jesse from Riverside.
Jesse. That's what I thought. I just didn't remember your name.
I had two questions I wanted to ask Lexington.
Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Lexington?
How you doing?
The first question I wanted to ask you is, who would you say are your top three favorite girls in the business to shoot with?
Number one, Naomi Banks. That's my favorite of all time. Phoenix Marie would be my second favorite. And then Belladonna would be my third favorite, in that descending order.
Mm. Sounds good, man. So I would imagine these are probably like famous girls and stuff like that.
Yes, fairly.
Around for a while. I've heard of them.
Yeah, you have?
Yeah.
I've gone to the porn thing, the porn awards.
Yeah.
Just because of Extends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Like, so now when you describe like favorite girls, is that like the easiest ones to work with or?
Well, some of them, preferably you first have to go with the embodiment of what is your fantasy girl.
And chemistry,
right?
Too.
That's true.
Well, chemistry, no? It's chemistry counts, but chemistry is orchestrated as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
So when you meet someone at 9 o'clock and then you're going to be having sex with them at 9:15, mm-hmm. you have to be able to orchestrate chemistry because it's not always
right.
organic. So in that regard, you get you know how to become fast friends, at least for the next 3 hours.
Right.
You know, so if you have a girl that fits your fantasy model and then you enjoy having sex with her, where you're actually enjoying, because it's always a performance. I mean, yeah, it's a physical thing, but it is a performance, much like any other performance event or show or what have you. So those are first things. Does she fit your fantasy? Do you guys have fun when doing what you're doing? Because it's not always fun, but if it ends up being fun, you want to do it with her again.
Right.
And it works for everybody involved, because the directors and producers know that, hey, if I book these two people together, we'll get a good scene.
It's going to be amazing.
And
right.
they'll make some good money off it.
Yeah.
Jesse, your next question?
I was going to ask, what's like the most embarrassing moment that's happened to you on set during filming a scene?
Great question, man.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything like that?
To give you an overview, there's a most embarrassing scenario, and that's an inability to perform, a failure. And then there's situations that could be funny or kind of vexing. Whereas if you're doing an anal scene and it becomes difficult to continue on with the anal scene because the girl is having there's a lot of shit still in her ass. Right?
Oh my god.
So,
dude, yeah, you know, to put it bluntly.
Yeah,
but why don't they go get colonics beforehand? That's what I don't understand.
You know, believe me, the girls know what they're doing as far as like watching their diet, maybe
right.
the night before they know to look at, you know, really play to their close to the chest what they eat. And then of course there's enemas and,
right.
and what have you. But sometimes you gotta remember, you know, I think what happens is, especially in anal, I'm releasing the muscles deeper inside of the
right,
woman's
right.
anal cavity.
Mm.
And so very often the cleaning mechanisms haven't reached or flushed out that far sufficiently. So if you loosen up those things can happen. And shit happens.
Yeah, there you go.
The pun.
I mean, I would totally lose my erection if I saw that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. You learn to get through it, Sam, because, like, I'm telling you, and that's just one thing. There's also period. I know Brigitte mentioned, you know, the period, the sharks. You know. I mean, yeah, you got to deal with periods. And if you're going one hole, then you got to deal with shit if you go in the other hole. So... Some days at work are harder than others. And once again, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I have a question, because I feel like, you know, most guys do not care if you're on your... First of all, I'm like...
All guys care.
But if you're on your period and you don't look down, whatever,
no.
It feels better. No.
Guys have an ability to say, fuck it.
Yeah.
I know. And some guys,
right,
I know.
And Char's on end. But we notice, and it does matter.
Someone I know is like seven days of blowjobs. That's what it is. And I'm like,
all right, Jesse, does that answer your questions?
Yeah, that does. Thanks for
awesome.
Taking my call. And I just was going to say one last thing to Lexington.
Yeah.
I think my favorite scenes that I've seen you've done with a porn chick were the ones you did with Angelina Valentine.
Do you remember that?
Oh, you mean, oh my God. You mean I only did one with her. For Jules Jordan,
no,
right?
Like three.
No. The dark hair with the big lips,
like
right?
I've seen like three, dude. Seriously. It's
heavily tattooed girl, right? Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an interesting story with her. I'll tell you real briefly. We were shooting a scene with her. It was hot like it is today, right? And I
it was
just,
a Jules Jordan one, huh?
Yeah. And I just started the cigarette stop smoking pill that they have?
Oh,
Pfizer's product.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute. I know exactly
right?
what you're talking
so
about.
So I just started taking that, and it was the second day on that shit. And I'm sorry.
You can say it.
I passed out. She was blowing me, and I thought that that she was just really just pulling so much blood from my head. I was getting lightheaded, right? And I passed out. And I woke up, bro. Whoa. I'm telling you, I'm not bullshitting. I woke up with her and Jules Jordan, you know, dropping water on my face and smacking my face to wake me up.
Wow.
I forgot what the name of that thing is from, but it's a non-smoking pill.
Yeah.
To stop smoking.
Is it Champix?
Yeah, Chantix.
Chantix.
Chantix. And one of the side effects is may cause dizziness. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. So that's a quick little anecdote for her. She's great, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jesse. Well, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
We
always
love you. Thanks, guys. Have a great Friday.
Take care.
Me too.
Bye. Wow. So, I got so many questions. So you were born in New Jersey. That's where you grew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing there? Did you go to school after high school?
Well,
Mm-hmm. What college did you go to?
Well, after high school, I went to Morehouse College for 2 years. And I transferred to Syracuse University. I finished in 93.
You were a smartling.
Oh, well, yeah. No, you know what it was? When I actually had some scholarship offers, athletic scholarship offers lined up, you know, coming out of high school. And at the last moment, I got an offer from a jump coach at UCLA. And I kind of was like, holy smoke, go to UCLA. Mm-hmm. And I waited on the dude. And they ended up giving the scholarship to a half miler from Idaho, who was a Native American.
Yeah.
And so I missed the scholarships that I already had lined up, waiting on UCLA. Needless to say, the dude didn't even make it to he didn't make it to this third trimester, which means he wasn't eligible to run track his first year. Mm. So they lost that scholarship anyway. I ended up going to Division II school and running track.
Nice.
Then I got my grades up there, and I went to Syracuse and played soccer, which was my first. I was an All-American in high school.
That's amazing.
But I was pretty good in soccer as well, so I went to Syracuse, and I walked on to the soccer team there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, and what did you do next? At what point did you decide you're going to move to L.A.?
Oh, that was years after college.
Oh, years after that.
You know,
okay.
See, I'm a little bit older than most people think. I'm 42.
Mm.
So a lot of people are like, what?
And I wouldn't have thought so either.
Yeah, when I give you these dates, they're like, that's impossible. Well, yeah, like I came out of Syracuse in 93. So, you know, I came out in May. And so I was immediately went to financial. I was a Wall Street stockbroker for 5 years. So,
oh, wow.
Really?
Started training in June of 93, was licensed by like a year or two, 95, and I was licensed, I was licensed in 94, and I was a broker until March of 98. And I actually would have been in, I was actually in Tower 2, World Trade Center, you know, with Oppenheimer. And so had I still been a broker at the time of 9/11, I either would have been running down the stairs or jumping out the window. I have friends. I lost four friends.
Wow.
In 9/11. So in 98, by 98, I said, you know, I had been doing some stuff, some lifestyle stuff, some swinger stuff. And I was like, a couple people said, hey, you can probably do something in an adult as a pro. Mm. And I said to myself, okay, look, I've got enough savings to last me 6 months. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this thing out here in L.A. 6 months. So I came out to L.A. in 98, and I moved out here in March of 98 and have been here ever since.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And, did you find success right away or did it take you a while?
When I came out to L.A. in 98, I found success right away, but it wasn't because I was any type of wonderkind or super freak. What it was, I had been doing stuff in New York and New Jersey since 96, right? So we were doing, I was in this group called, I shit you not, I was in this group called the Gentle Giants, right? What we would do, it was like a group of like 6, 7, 8 black guys with big dicks, and we would go up and down the East Coast hosting or being, you know, hosted at these swinger parties, and there would be these big sex orgies where the Gentle Giants would come in and it would be like these huge interracial sex orgies and what have you up and down the East Coast. And so what happened is a lot of the husbands were pardon me, a lot of the husbands were taping these events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was familiar with having sex on camera since 96. So when I came out to L.A. in 98, I already had practice. I was already shooting for a company called Caesar Video out of Manhattan from 97 to 98. So I had practice in front of the camera. So when I came out here, I was a rookie in the major leagues, mm-hmm. but I had put in years in the minors, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So you were like a group of guys, and you were going around to swingers clubs and stuff, huh? And yeah. you were like the center of attention.
No, much. I was one of a, yeah. we were the gentle giants.
That's yeah. so funny.
I was just one. But my first experience was a 19-on-1 gangbang.
Whoa. Wow.
And
oh my God.
The broker that trained me, that I then was working for, he said, hey, you know, I finally was, I guess, ushered into the old boys club, right? He says, hey, we're going to a freak party. You want to go? So my idea of a freak party, I thought was completely different than his, because I just got out of college. So
right,
for me,
right,
a freak
right.
party was like winding up against the wall with the reggae music and lights off and an after-hours party with some co-ed, right? No, so we get there, and we get this hotel suite, and there the room is lined with guys that I know from work, mm-hmm. 19 of them, and other firms and what have you. And there's this woman in the middle servicing three guys simultaneously. I'm like, hey, you know, get in line. So I got the back of the line. So by the time it was my time to come around, I was like, hey, this looks like fun, you know. And I was able to do it. And that was my first experience. That was like 95.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I think.
Condoms,
like,
too.
Yeah. I was going to say. And then I start thinking crazy because then I'm like, I wouldn't want to be the last one to go because I don't want like all. I don't want leftovers.
No, it's not like that. I remember we were wearing condoms, so you really.
Yeah,
you couldn't tell what it was like. You know.
And I guess in a way, too, then I start thinking, and I wouldn't, but if I was the girl. That shit would get numb after like 19. You know
I think so. Especially with Lexington Steel there, you know, stretching you out.
Saying,
Yeah, by then I was full grown too. So.
And that's when you can't walk the next day. People are like, what happened? I don't know. I fell.
Well, so you moved to LA. You decided, what the hell, this is where the action is, right? So you moved here. What year did you move here?
98. March of 98 was when I moved here full time. Yeah. Mm. And I'm the only, no one from my family's out here. When I came out here, I came out here by myself. You know, it's kind of the proverbial, you know, put everything in the car and drive it, you know, but I put everything on the plane and flew out.
Yeah.
And with a little help from friends, you know, I stayed in Torrance for like mm-hmm. my first 6 months, which was a long drive to the valley.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, but my friend, she was very nice to me and gave me a place to stay so I can get on my feet out here.
Oh,
now,
wonderful.
How did you wind up telling your parents? Like, how was that conversation?
Well, you know what it was? By the time I moved out here, I was 28. So my parents, you know, I was a proverbial grown ass man. Mm-hmm. If you know, if you've heard the term, you know, grown ass man at this point, right? You know, it goes both ways. It's like, okay, you know, you're a grown ass man now, so you can't ask your parents for money anymore.
Yeah.
And by the same token, then they can't exercise the same authorities that they had when you were a kid or
right.
a young man, right?
Yeah.
So when I came out here, they were like, hey, well, you've been supporting yourself since, you know, 2 months out of college, so what could they say at that point? My mother said my father was like, okay, you know, have fun. He was cool.
Yeah.
You know. But my mom, she just said two things. She said, look, don't get anybody pregnant, and,
yeah.
you know, and don't get sick. And knock on wood, I haven't done either.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
So you know what you're doing.
Yep.
So now I'm counting. This is like 14 years.
Yeah,
since you got
I know,
here, right? Wow.
Like an elder statesman.
Yeah. That's a lot of fucking, man. Let me tell you. So now you were describing the husband's videotaping and everything like that. What do you think is the fascination with men watching their wives with someone else?
Good question. I was gonna ask. Yeah.
And often, you know, with the black guy too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like for the white guy, it's like, what do you think the attraction is there?
Well, ironically, you know, there is a term called cuckolding.
Yes.
And, you know, now there is a distinguishable element between cuckolding and essentially, it's the husband watching his wife having sex with another person.
And it
doesn't necessarily have to be a black guy, just watching
right.
her husband being with another guy, and she is demeaning and emasculating towards her husband, and he is liking it.
Got it. Okay.
And then it can go farther steps where after the guy finishes with the wife, there is the term cleaning,
yeah.
where the husband will then
Lick it off.
And ingest the you know. So those, okay. You know. But I mean, look, there's fetishes and these are things that have been around going all the way back, predating American culture and the relationship that the slavery had initiated. This goes all the way back into Egypt.
Yeah.
And high orders of ancient society practiced the practice of cuckolding. So, but what we do with the guys videotaping their wives, I think the fascination really is because you're really having sex. Although you're having sex with the wife, mm-hmm. You are having sex with the couple. He's not there. He might be holding the camera, maybe 10 feet away, but you're participating in the creation of a moment for that couple, of which they will enjoy forever.
Okay.
So it's really, I'm just really a guest on their particular platform.
Yeah.
See, then how do you deal with, let's say like it's like the first time for this couple, and then like, do you ever see like crazy jealousy?
Yeah, I mean it happens.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, okay, well, two things. First, if it's their first time, he doesn't necessarily know what he is going to witness,
mm-hmm.
because not only perhaps she may be taken beyond her physical limits, or that, you know, and you know, which is really no big deal,
mm-hmm.
But it's just also that's a physical thing. But the other thing is she may react in ways that he's unfamiliar,
okay.
and that may be based on the physical thing, or maybe based on her feelings towards the person that she's having. So those are the things that could be, you know, could provide a jealousy factor.
Right.
And it can get kind of, you know, it can be problematic for a couple that may not be emotionally secure enough to swing.
Right.
Got it.
You know, but it's important to note that anybody that knows the proper protocols that go with the lifestyle, and that's mm-hmm. the proverbial term for swingers, lifestyle, mm-hmm. there's a protocol. And if you play by the protocols, The husbands know that I'm not there to infringe upon your relationship at all.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the lifestyle, and I like to give analogies based on athletics because I'm a big sportsman.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to the basketball park for a pickup game, right?
Got it.
Who's got next?
Yeah.
That's going to determine who's got next. All right, yo, I got next. All right, I'm going to run with you. All right, cool. So, you know, the next mm-hmm. five guys that were waiting in line are the guys that play, right?
Right, right?
If you lose, you sit until you get your next time up. But after you're done playing, you all give each other a handshake, give each other a pound, say, okay, you guys running next week? All right, cool. I'll see you next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what swinging is. It's going to the park to play ball. I'll see you next week. And you guys are friends. You meet some great people. Mm-hmm. You make some good friends in all parts of the world. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what it is. And most people, you know the protocol, you know that it's like, look, I'm not trying to take your wife. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that new show that's on Showtime recently that I was watching one of it. It's called Polyamory. And it's literally about swingers, but also about, you know, couples of three or two different couples that are actually married that are hooking up together. And I think it's awesome that there's a show about it to, like, you know, let people know, because there's a lot of swinger clubs around here. Like, people don't realize, like, all of it. And so, but it's interesting because, like, for, you know, I've had experience recently with something in particular, and it went weird.
Yeah.
And that was just. And so to watch this, I'm like, oh, okay, so that's how you react, or that's how, you know. But I think there's so many people out there that ask about threesomes, or that
right.
want to, you know, be more sexually experienced and try different things, but it is really about you and that other person, like if you're a couple, being more, I guess, together, like you're more intimate and more, what do you call it?
Right, yeah.
The word I can't even think of right now.
Yeah, you need to feel
more secure.
Secure,
that's the word.
Other.
More
yeah.
secure before you go into that. So
well, it definitely, it's not meant to save a relationship, it's meant to enhance a relationship.
Right.
And that's what needs to be, you know, taken into consideration.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you go and you think you're enhancing it, and then you realize, it's probably a little too soon to do this.
Yeah. Then, you know.
And that's kind of like,
And the cool thing is in the lifestyle, and I'm, you know, pretty well entrenched in the lifestyle, and, you know, I go to a lot of the resorts, global resorts, and around the world. You know, it's a case where with swing, you don't have to dive right in,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe go to an event and you just enjoy yourself
just
and
watching,
watch. You don't
right.
even got to do anything. Just sit and watch. It's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Right.
You're there.
Right.
We know that there are scenes called voyeurs, so you sit back and watch, right? And maybe the next time you go, maybe the two of you interact a little bit with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get kind of accustomed to being around sex with others when others are having sex.
Right.
And then it could be years before you decide to interact. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something that you don't have to dive right in. There's many ways to get your feet wet without diving right in.
Right.
Now, I guess another thing is, too, is, like, don't you worry about, cause that's be my thing, like, don't you worry about everyone swinging? Mm. Don't you worry about getting something?
You can, you know, but one thing that I found, and it has been my experience, and I don't know at what point this changed, but since I've been involved with lifestyle, it's very rarely is anything happening bareback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you are, if you're dealing with someone, someone that's married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, huh? And a lot of it's interracial, right? So, Sam, I'm telling you, 9 months later, you don't want, you know, you don't want the
you
wife
want
like,
look at it. Yeah.
Hey, honey, or the doctors, you know, 9 months later, you know, you pull out a little brown baby, you know what I'm saying? And the only thing different is not only he's got a big dick, but he's also got a tan. So you're like, hey, honey, be like, Houston, we have a problem. You know? So no, most of it's condom because like no one's trying to like, you know, change anybody's life forever.
Yeah.
And then I mean, you know, yeah, I remember it's not just the actual insertion of your dick. It's the whole moment. So a condom isn't so intrusive when the whole moment is larger than the actual penetration.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for, 14 years in L.A., but you did a little before that, too. And I mean, have you been counting how many women you've been with? Because I'm sure a lot of people would like to know that. What is it, like hundreds, thousands?
Well, I tell you, you know, like there are... .coms that say they know or have a count on how many scenes somebody has done. The thing that makes that, I think IMDb or whatever has a count.
Yeah.
The thing that makes that inaccurate is it only not inclusive of that, but it only documents the number of movies you've been in.
Right.
Right.
Not
but the
scenes.
Number
the, right.
Exactly. So in my case, like I've been in movies where I might have done one or two, maybe five scenes in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult for me to quantify the number. And I'm not one to try and come up with crazy numbers. I'm not going to do the Will Chamberlain thing.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, can you imagine how many women is 20,000?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, can you think about it? Like, wait a minute. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, 20,000 people, that's like going to the Staples Center and be like, I boned every woman in here.
Yes.
You know, like, come on, dude. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might put the number at, like, maybe 1,000.
Wow. Okay.
Because it's quantitatively, it's an incredible amount, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then if you look, like, think about a room of 1,000 people, you're like, damn.
That's a lot of people.
So yeah. I would say that, you know, I'm not going to overstate it. And it may be under that, but maybe I've probably been with 1,000 women.
Mm. Sounds good. Now, let me ask you this. You've won a lot of awards and everything, and I totally forgot what I wanted to ask him. Go ahead.
Okay, because we had someone that was asking a question too. So what happens if you were to get someone pregnant, like another performer?
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Well, I am a pro-abortion supporter, and certainly I think that might have to be an option because if it happens in a professional setting, it is not something that was born out of intention.
Right.
And if I'm there on set and this was to occur, Lexington Steele is not the father of the child.
Right.
You know, it would actually be me on a personal level, and I would like to be able to control that element of my personal life and when and how I choose to become a father. So I would hope that the counterpart would be in agreement with the necessity to use abortion as an option because certainly one's life should not be changed forever based on something that happened on a professional environment.
Yeah.
Now, when you're in, if that situation were to happen and the company who's filming then, I mean, do they have any kind of say or anything because it's on their set?
No.
You know, just like you get injured. No, it sounds crazy, but
yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, you get injured on a film set and like their insurance covers it or like, you know, they have to like take care of it or whatever or a situation. No.
Because two things. First, you know, and there's no type of indemnities that are institutionalized. There's no laws it could be an interesting legal fight. But like, I mean, no, the comp, okay, I started my company Mercenary Pictures in 2003, right? So as a studio, let me, if this was happened on my set, right? Okay, first I would be like, okay, and I would have to play a hard line. First is like, how do you know that you were impregnated on my set? Number one, how do I know that you guys were having sex off camera and happened there? Number three, you know, the contract that you signed for the production of this commercial product does not require me to be responsible for your becoming impregnated on my scene. Now, what the model releases do state that the talent has to identify the production house from any responsibility for the transfer or potential transfer of sexually transmitted diseases. But there are no proponents that speak to pregnancy on a model release as of yet.
Interesting.
Now, in your personal life, does that interfere? I mean, do you have a girlfriend right now, or have you, or how does it work?
Well, no, I'll tell you, you know, all my years up until 2006, I had the same girlfriend in the industry, who was also in the industry, and we were engaged in 2006, and thankfully we didn't end up becoming married. And then subsequent to her, I've had a number of girlfriends that were not in the industry.
How did they handle it?
Well, you know, first they know that I have a very professional take on you know, being Lex and Steel, whereas I don't feel like I'm only Lex and Steel when I'm on the job, right? So the girls know that they're not involved with Lex, they're involved with me, and they respect the fact that I leave the job on the job. And that's because, you know, there's a maturity level that comes with being in the industry as a guy after a while, you know, because it's being a male performer is not a young, it's not a young boy sport. It's a grown ass man sport. Now, women need to be as young as possible. That's a popularity thing, but guys need to be seasoned and need to have a level of maturity. So a lot of the girls know that they're not dealing with, like, I'm no longer a kid in a candy store. So there's a little comfort level with that. Now, how do they deal with my having sex with other women? That's something that they have to be very strong women and understand that, okay, yes, you know, I actually attracted enough to this woman that I'm working with to get a raging hard on. And so they have to be secure in the fact that I'm as equally attracted to them or I wouldn't spend the other 22 hours of a day with you. It's like, yeah, for those 3 hours, I was Superman. Now you are back with Clark Kent. And Clark Kent is just as much attracted to you as Superman was attracted to who he worked with that day. So,
but is sex different, I guess, when, I mean, I know like some of my porn star girlfriends have say that, you know, it was hard for them to be more intimate with someone, you know, behind the scenes sort of thing. Like they couldn't. So is sex totally different when you're with, is it more intimate for you, or is just sex is just sex? Like it?
Oh, it's totally different.
I would say it's totally different. You know, I mean, you can see when you watch the movies and stuff, it's like,
well,
you can tell
it's,
they're acting and, you know, and all that. And, you know, you have to get into positions that are not comfortable and that you wouldn't normally and so forth. But yeah, I think when you guys look at it as work, after a while, that's what it becomes, you know? I mean, just think about it, you know? If you walk around naked around people all the time and screwing and stuff, it's not a big deal for you.
It's not a big deal, exactly.
But then, as a person, I think, as a human being, you still need that intimate connection outside, you know?
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. And it's a big difference, it's like night and day. Because, you know, we're on a set, she's not having sex with you because she wants to. She's having sex with you because she's being paid, and vice versa. And so when you're at home, you guys are intimate because you want to, and you know that when she's blowing you because she wants to give you a good blowjob. When you're on set, she's giving the camera a good shot at what a good blowjob looks like. It's not for you. It's because she knows how to look good giving you a good blowjob. And it's your idea to sell that she's giving you a good blowjob. And you both understand that. So you say, okay, it's time to dance, right? And sometimes it's choreographed, sometimes it's not. But rest assured, when you know that once the scene is over and she's like not hardly speaking to you anymore, very early you realize that, yeah, this is kind of a job.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy, I think it's like it takes about 2 years to do away with the kid in a candy store.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The first 2 years, you think you're the man, like you're walking with your chest puffed out. It's like, dude, I see these new cats now. I'm like, man, she did the same shit last week with old boy. Don't think you put it down, especially today.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, guess what? She's working with me. So whatever you think your imprint you're leaving on her, check the footprint on her 3 days from now.
That's hilarious.
That's true, yeah. Wow, and you won so many awards. It's unbelievable since 2000 or before that.
I'm the most heavily awarded
male performer.
No, I'm the most heavily awarded performer of color in history of adult video.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Male or female.
Wow.
You know, now you have, you know, that comes at 3-time male performer of the year. That's been equaled by my man Manuel Ferrar, the Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
But the wonderful thing about it is the accolades have come as a performer and as a director, and I actually appreciate my directorial awards as much, if not more so, than my performance awards.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I would imagine. Okay, well, we are out of time. Why don't you go ahead? Let's promote your show. Lexington's radio show is on every Thursday at 4:00 on Channel 2. What is your website?
Well, you can reach me at lexingtonsteel.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Twitter at LexSteele11. That's LexSteele11 on Twitter. And
that
then on Facebook is Lex and Steele, the Black Viking.
Oh,
nice.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And don't forget to watch Lex the Impaler.
And anything from Mercenary Pictures Video. That's Mercenary Pictures Video. That's my studio house. We have over 300 titles on the market for your viewing pleasure.
Wow. Sounds good, man. And finally, I wanted to ask you, how did you get your name? How did you come up with that?
Oh, very quickly. Like I said, I was a broker for 5.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I was going from downtown Manhattan up to midtown Manhattan to visit a client. So I came out of at the train station at Lexington Ave. And at that time, I was already doing stuff, right? And they give my a name.
Right.
And so I wanted to go with the last name Steele because it made sense for a porno performer, right?
Right.
And I was borrowing from other male performers. So I got my last name already. And then I was like, Lexington. I was like, sounds cool if said in full, and it sounds really cool if cut in half. Lex Steele, Lex and Steele.
Yeah.
So that was 1996.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's a brilliant name, I think. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Lexington Steele.
Size matters.
There you go. And thank you so much for joining us, man. You're a lot of fun, and you're welcome back anytime. And Brigitte, have a great weekend. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
You've been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.